If you enjoy podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Highway to Health podcast, hosted by Jeremy Quinby, provides guidance, quality resources, and inspiration for anyone seeking wellness in mind, body, and spirit. There's an episode that you should check out called The Value of Our Emotions, where Jeremy helps listeners understand the role emotions serve and what we can learn about our present state by staying attuned to them. Check out Highway to Health podcast on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.
Hey there, leading ladies. Welcome to the Women Physicians Lead podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Lisa Herbert, a two-time best-selling author, speaker, family physician, and executive leadership coach with over 20 years experience of providing primary care and serving as a healthcare leader. If you are a woman physician ready to make a change in your career and have a seat at the leadership table, then you are in the right place. I'm excited to provide you with the crucial skills you need to be a successful leader and strategies to deal with workplace challenges. So put on your headphones and listen as we explore the new world of building women physician leaders.
Hello, everyone. I'm so excited to bring to you another podcast episode. So I have with me today an amazing guest. I have a fellow family physician, and she has done some amazing work in the leadership space. So I am thrilled to bring you today Dr. Saria Sococcio, and she is going to tell us about her leadership journey and all of the great things that she's doing. She is currently the CMO of Elevance Health, and she's also an entrepreneur, a founder and president of Sococcio Solutions. So welcome to the podcast.
Hey, it is great to be with you today. What a fantastic day to connect and talk about what's happening in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I always love when I can speak with fellow physicians, but fellow female physicians, and then fellow female family practice physicians. That's just like a bonus.
How fun. Yes, I couldn't agree more.
Yes, yes. So why don't you tell us just a little bit about you? Give us a little bit of your background and tell us, you know, a little bit of sort of your story.
Certainly, Lisa. And starting as a family physician, because I didn't start off as the East Region Chief Medical Officer for Elevance Health or Carillon Health Advanced Primary Care, it started with family medicine. Yeah. Of course, I could go back to the heart of when I decided after my first year of medical school, knowing family medicine was for me, but we could be here all day. So I'll start with what was most important to me and what I still consider to be sacred is that patient-physician relationship. Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, I started off in solo practice. I hired my mother. People thought I was crazy. She was my office manager. I was the doc and the nurse, and we went to work. I saw patients in the hospital, in their homes, for hospice, in the office, because that continuity, that relationship, again, is so very sacred. But what I love about what we do as family physicians, Lisa, is connect to the community and the needs. Yes. And what I saw was that there was an opportunity to teach other family physicians to recognize how you assess a community need, why that matters. And I was thriving in a space where I saw that patients and families were connected to a community outside of the threshold of an office. Mm-hmm. And so I taught for a while. I taught in a family medicine residency program, loved the opportunity to connect with those who are learning early in their careers. Yet I still felt there was a need for greater connection in our communities. So I went back to school. Yes, it is important. I'm going to answer that question right out of the gate. As a family physician, or any physician for that matter, if you want to get in the executive world, it is incredibly helpful to have a master's. Mm. I went to UNC Chapel Hill for my master's in healthcare administration, and it opened my eyes and it opened the doors to what I do now, which is being a chief medical officer. Mm. I started on the side of health systems. And as I said just a moment ago, I'm now part of a payer system on the healthcare delivery side for Carelon Health.
Yeah, that's amazing. You shared so much that resonated with me. I mean, also, you know, being a solo practitioner as a family doc. And yes, I did hire my mom as well.
Oh, that's fabulous. Yeah. Yes. Mama
phones.
Knows.
Yeah. Patients Mama loved knows. It. They absolutely loved my mother. And when she was not there, they wanted to see her more than they wanted to see.
Isn't that the truth?
So that is amazing, you know, just to have that support, that family tie, you know, being tied to community as family docs, like you mentioned, is so important. And then wanting to help and teach other, you know, family physicians is important. So you sort of laid out for us, like, what inspired the leadership journey, right? Just the desire to be able to, you know, reach a community outside of your office, be able to teach other family physicians. But who would you say was instrumental in helping you to sort of go down that path of leadership?
I've had so many mentors, Lisa, but where I'll focus is there are two that immediately come to mind. Dr. Ed Shahady taught me early on as a medical student and then as a resident. Saria, he said, you have to make a decision. Do you want to be popular or do you want to lead? And that was the beginning of my leadership career in medicine. And sometimes those are hard questions for us as physicians.
Absolutely.
We're used to doing what people need and being there for them and being the hero and coming in and comforting patients and peers. And then another mentor of mine, Dr. Lanny Copeland, really led me on my physician executive path. I remember calling him one day saying, Lanny, I'm ready for something different. This is when I was teaching residents, wasn't sure what the next step was, what I should consider, but I knew that I wanted to have greater influence in a community and with health systems. And it all started with a conversation where he said, Saria, I'm getting the band back together and it's in Danville, Virginia. And I think you should at least take a look, interview, see what it's like interviewing as a chief medical officer. And the rest is history.
Wow. That's amazing. And just speaks to, you know, I'm sure what we all already know, but what we constantly talk about is the importance of having mentors and people in your corner who, yeah, just support you and are your cheerleaders and, you know, show you a different path sometimes even than you can imagine, right? Yeah, so that's wonderful. So in your role as CMO, because I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, physicians and even non-physicians who might be watching this or listening to this and are curious about the role of CMO and what that entails. So can you tell us a little bit about like what the day in the life of Dr. Saria looks like as the CMO?
I will. And I'm going to start with something that I think is useful information that has proven to be very wise. As I quickly learned as a physician, we often come to the table with an assumption. That assumption is we are the leader. Mm-hmm. We've been trained to think that way. We're expected to address patient care, make decisions, make quick decisions. What I quickly learned when I became a physician executive is it is about the team. And whether you are the quarterback of the team, you're sitting the bench, I think it's important to recognize that, or the coach. And that has changed over time. I think that was an important lesson for me to learn and grounded me in true teamwork.
Yeah.
And so that's where a day in the life comes from. I may start off in the morning leading a meeting. I may end up at my next meeting sitting, learning and hearing from others, and whether that is through case management and how they're caring for patients outside of our care centers or in the homes. It may be with behavioral health and understanding what those needs of the patient are. It may be at a high level meeting of what's happening in a corporate environment, what's important to us as goals and characteristics. Mm-hmm. But today, a day in the life is starting with you, Lisa, and being a podcast guest,
right,
which is fun
right.
for me. A little bit later in the day, I have some one-to-ones with some of my incredible leaders to help guide them and support them in the fantastic work that they're doing. And then I jump on the line to be a podcast host where I will be asking the questions. So again, this is so much fun and so fresh for me. Later in the day, you've heard me mention committee. I've got a meeting at the United Way. I'm the board chair for United Way of Greenville County here in Greenville, South Carolina. And we are focusing on our affinity groups and how we are engaging with people in the community and how we reach those closest to the ones we serve. Yeah. And then I finish up the day in one of our monthly operating meetings talking about how did we do last month? What did we learn? Mm. Whether it's clinical, financial, how we work as a team to focus on our goals and move forward. So it's a packed day, but it is so much fun, as you heard. It's here, it's there, it's everywhere, and why I love being a CMO.
Yeah. And that's great to hear because, you know, I think one of the reasons why I know I picked family medicine is because of the variety, right? Just being able to just have a day that just, you know, was exciting. You didn't know what was going to come through the door. I mean, you know, you could go from treating a little kid to a woman to male and an elderly patient. So I love to hear that there's still that same amount of just excitement and variety, you know, in your role and in the things and the tasks that you do and the people that you lead.
It is so true and why I love what I do too. And I still see patients. I see patients at our local free clinic, and I'm grateful to work for an organization that invests and supports in our communities. And that is so very important when people are looking for employers and who they partner with. I recommend taking a look around you. Who cares? That's where I start.
Yeah, absolutely. True. Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about a period in your life where there may have been a transition that impacted you. And just to give a little backstory about sort of why I'm bringing the word and the experience of transition into my podcast. So every year at the beginning of the year, I choose one word. You've heard of the one word, right? So I choose one word. So last year, my one word was build. This year, my one word is transition. And the reason I chose that word is because in my own life, I felt like I have gone through, like all of us, several transitions, right? You go from being a parent of young children to being a parent of older children. You go from one job to another job. You switch careers. You know, people come in and out of your life. So there's always this period of transition going on. And what I've come to realize is that in those periods of transition, it's important for us to kind of just learn and sit in it for a little bit and experience whatever it is that we're experiencing and garner the lesson, right, that's being taught to us during those times. So when you think about transition, what does that kind of bring up for you?
Transition is such a rich word. And speaking of words for the year, my word is growth. So we are lockstep here, Lisa, just thinking about what matters. And when I mean growth, at this point in my career, my life, it's not necessarily about what's the next job, what's the next title. It's growth in who I am as a human being. It's growth in what I'm learning. As family physicians, we are indeed lifelong learners in so many ways, but it doesn't just stop with science. It's who we are and what we do. So when you ask about a transition in my life, similar to many people, it was after the pandemic started and the experiences that we had. My experiences at the time, the ambulatory chief medical officer for Prisma Health in South Carolina, at the time, I was responsible for supporting our outpatient services across all specialties and managing through COVID in a way that continued to connect patients with care. It was an incredible opportunity and honor to learn, to grow how we do that with the constraints, the restrictions, the unknowns that we were experiencing, and being responsible for the team to coordinate how we give vaccines across the entire state of South Carolina. At the time, Prisma Health had vaccinated more South Carolinians than any other provider in the state. And we were proud of that. But now here's where I pivot and where the transition comes. Through that experience of recognizing the potential to connect with people all across the state and truly save lives, It gave me a moment to pause, not only professionally, but how it changed us as individuals in our families and as humans. That's when I said, I have been a CMO for health systems for, at that time, 10 years, over 10 years. What else? What else in my life? And Lisa, I am 49. I'm about to be 50. And I've got the second half of my career left. And I said, what can I do to continue to learn? Here's where grow comes into place. And that's the about the time that I started my consulting business. Oh. And I had developed just incredible relationships with partners out there doing phenomenal things, from vaccinating people to serving and supporting health systems all over the country. And I thought, maybe this is a space I need to be.
Yeah.
But I knew it was time to grow. So that point of transition in my life was about courage to step out what I know, step outside of what I've been doing for so many years. And as my story tells, I went from consulting, which was a great experience, to now working for a large Fortune 500 company that serves patients. In fact, one in three individuals are touched by Elevance Health. And that is impact.
Absolutely.
I'm continuing to grow and learn and serve patients through supporting teams across the eastern half of the U.S. And it has just been an incredible experience. And that courage led me to where I am today.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. And thank you for sharing that, you know, with us, because I think it's important to understand, like you mentioned, you know, as you're growing, as you're going through transitions, sometimes we have to pull from somewhere, right? So we have to find the courage, even in the face of unknown, you know, of the unknown, you know, we still have to find courage. Sometimes we have to lean on resiliency, right? To bounce back when things kind of don't, you know, go the way that we expect it to. So yeah, so thank you for sharing your story of transition. And we all wish you here continued growth and continued success.
And thank you. And it's an exciting ride. Who knows what's next?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. As long as we keep learning and connecting with others, life is just thrilling and a gift.
Yeah. And, you know, when I think about also growth and transition, you know, with it comes obviously a lot of work sometimes, some increased responsibility. So how do you, as a CMO and as a consultant, a business owner, take time for yourself? What is it that, you know, gives you that strength to continue to go, to continue to do what you do?
Well, that indeed is important for endurance, because this is a job that doesn't necessarily rest on an 8-to-5 schedule, for sure. And it goes back to the basics. And I feel if it's what I tell my patients, it should be good enough for me. And getting enough sleep every night. I get at least 7 hours of sleep every night. I learned early on from Brian Sexton, who's at Duke, about resilience. And in his words, if you get less than 5 hours of sleep a night, you get stupid. Those are his words, because you just don't function the same.
Yeah.
I exercise every day. And when I say exercise, it's not necessarily going to a gym. I encourage people to move, do what they can. I walk every single day. It clears my head. It keeps my mind healthy. And eating a relatively healthy diet is important. But here's the other piece. Those are the givens. It's important to focus on what matters to you every day. We don't shelf the rest of our lives. I eat dinner with my family every night. I've got a 16 and an 18-year-old. My husband and I have been together for almost 30 years now. And it's that rich relationship with my family, the connections with my friends and colleagues. Surround yourself with people who make you whole, who raise you up, and expect you to do the same. And this is life. And the last thing I'll say about that balance and transition is connecting with community. You've heard me say that already. Volunteering, giving is so important to me. We've all heard the adage, to whom much is given, much is expected. And it enriches our lives by doing all these things. And you can hear, I've got the energy and the passion, because this is what keeps me whole.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And you shared so many gems with us today. that I think, you know, they're going to be helpful to so many. And a couple of things that stuck out for me during our time together was you mentioned, do you want to be popular? Do you want to lead? I'm using that. I just want you to know, I'm using that. That is absolutely, I think, one of the best pieces of advice, right, to give to up and coming aspiring leaders or people who are kind of stepping into that leadership space. The second gem that you mentioned was around assumption. And I think that's so huge. Just don't assume anything. Show up and be curious, right? And just be there to serve. Focus on what's important. I mean, we sometimes just forget about that, you know, the people and the things that are important to us. And then, like you said, having that connection with community. So I love all of those. And I want to just ask, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us? Any other tips? I mean, those are amazing in and of itself. So if you don't have any, that's fine. But any last words that you want to share with us?
Well, I'll share a few things. And this is what I live by and has served me well. And with my experience and in life, period, these are the things that have worked for me. One, I trust my gut. If your gut is telling you something is right, it probably is. And if your gut is telling you that something is just not adding up or doesn't settle with you, listen. Yeah. Listen to your inner core. I think that's important. And integrity. Long ago, a wise person said to me, Saria, all you control is your integrity. Yeah. Do the right thing. The same person who said, do you want to lead or do you want to be popular? Also told me, what do you want your patients to see in the paper tomorrow? Think about that. Do the right thing.
Yeah.
And if you can go to sleep at night knowing you did your best and stuck to your values, I sleep well for that reason. And then finally, this is what I challenge people who I mentor to do. Know who you are. Know what you care about and live your life that way.
Yeah.
For me, it's family, it's community, followed by my profession. Mm-hmm. This is what creates Saria and why it's such an exciting year to continue to grow.
Yeah. Additional amazing gems. So thank you for sharing those as well. I love those. And this has just been an amazing interview, amazing time that we've spent together. Thank you so much for coming out early in the morning to do this podcast interview and sharing with us your journey. And much success to you in the future with your continued plans in your personal and your professional life.
Well, thank you, Dr. Herbert. It's been fun. I've enjoyed our conversation today. It's a great start to the weekend to finish the week.
Yes.
And remind ourselves who we are and what we do is not necessarily who we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have an amazing day.
You too.
Thank you for listening today and for allowing me to be a part of your career journey. It's time for physicians to rise up, step out, and stand out, and take back our place in healthcare to be the respected voice and leaders in our community. Are you ready to take on that charge? Is leadership your calling? Are you ready to change the status quo? Are you ready to shift your talents to leading teams and driving change? If this is you, then I invite you to download the Leadership Assessment Scorecard to see what skills you need to develop to transition from clinical medicine to get your next best leadership role. So grab your Leadership Assessment Scorecard at www.womenphysicianslead.scorecard.com. That's womenphysicianslead.scorecard.com. Take care.
If you enjoyed podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Highway to Health Podcast, hosted by Jeremy Quinby, provides guidance, quality resources, and inspiration for anyone seeking wellness in mind, body, and spirit. There's an episode that you should check out called The Value of Our Emotions, where Jeremy helps listeners understand the role emotions serve and what we can learn about our present state by staying attuned to them. Check out Highway to Health podcast on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.